I thank the Kingdom Heirs very much again for those messages and song. May the Lord richly bless them to all our hearts. Really thank them for coming. And it's good to hear them ministering God's word. When you're getting old and your voice is going, aren't you glad there's some young fellas who are taking the time, making the effort, and seeking to serve the Lord and to sing the glorious message of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank them very much in the Lord's name for those messages and song. Now, if you have your Bible with you tonight, would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Mark, Mark's Gospel, and chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, and chapter 5. We're going to read some verses from verse 21. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. And we read a couple of verses here from verse 21. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." And then we take up the reading again at verse 35. "And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. They took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." Amen. May God bless to us the public reading from his own inspired and his infallible word. Many years ago, when we were giving out gospel tracts round about the open-air meetings at the City Hall in Belfast on a Sunday night, used to give out a little gospel tract, and it said on the front cover, "When you are in trouble, do you curse or do you pray?" And that certainly reveals a lot. What do men and women do when they are in trouble, when their back is against the wall, when they don't know which way to turn? Do they curse or do they pray? We've read the story of a man called Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, a man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and besought him that he would come with him to his home, because his little daughter of 12 years of age was at the point of death. They wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to come with him and heal the little girl. And then in the story, we purposely missed out the verses, but as they were making their way to the home of Jairus, a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, but was none bettered, but rather the worse. This was a hold up on the way to Jairus' home. And then they come and they tell him, "Your daughter is dead. Don't be troubling Jesus, the Master, any further." But there's a lovely text of scripture, and I want to draw your attention to it and take it as the theme for our gospel message tonight. See, many years ago, a dear saint of God was at the point of death, and his only son, who was very, very rebellious and had left home, left the father and mother's house, and gone into this world and spent, like the prodigal, his living, his days, in riotous living. But he had come home because he heard that his father was so seriously ill. His father was a believer. He loved the Lord Jesus. The mother was a believer. They had prayed long and hard for their son. And in an attempt to witness again to that son, that wayward son, the mother, she would say to the father as he lay on the bed, which was to be his deathbed, to say, "Are you sure you're saved? What are you depending on for eternity? Is it well with your soul?" And when she asked him those questions, he witnessed to her and to his wayward son. And he would say, when she says, "What are you depending on for eternity?" he would say, "The precious blood of Christ. Are you sure your sins are all forgiven?" He would say, "Yes. Through the precious blood of Christ." And those are wonderful words. And they were wonderful words for that dear man of God to die with. That he was depending upon. He was trusting in. His faith was centered in the precious blood of Christ. As I thought of those five words, the precious blood of Christ, wonderful words to die with, I thought of five words in verse 24 of Mark chapter 5. And they're the opening words. And they're the words that tell us what happened when Jairus came and he spoke to the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, "And Jesus went with him." Friend, here are five words to live with, five words to die with, five words that will take us through the valley of the shadow of death, five words that will take us into God's eternity. And Jesus went with him. I was reading to a dear saint of God, Psalm 23, a dear woman we've been with her every day. She's at the very end of life's journey. And reading her that passage again, that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And so that day when Jairus came to Jesus, and he tells Jesus, he states his case to the Lord Jesus Christ about this little girl, 12 years of age, who was at the point of death. The Bible says, "And Jesus went with him." And I want you to notice very simply tonight that Jesus went with him in his wandering. You see, it says there in verse 22, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of a synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Now he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's always the right thing to do. The old hymn writer Joseph Scriven from Banbridge, he wrote that beautiful hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And here's a man who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that he comes to Christ, the right person. He makes his request, and he does so reverently. For the Bible says, he fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. There was a great controversy surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he God's son? Is he a blasphemer? Can he really heal the sick? Is he who he says he is? But this man came to Jesus and he fell reverently at Jesus' feet. And the Bible says in verse 23, he besought him greatly. We can say he came reverently. He came passionately. And he says, and he beseeches Christ. He prays to Christ prayerfully. I pray thee come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. You'll notice he believed. He believed that Jesus Christ had the power to heal his daughter. But he's wondering, will the Lord Jesus Christ come with me? Will he come to my house? Will he heal my little daughter? Dear friend, that's the way many people are in Northern Ireland. They've heard the gospel. They know about the Lord Jesus Christ. They know of a truth that he has saved others. They know friends and family and neighbors. Perhaps they know people from this congregation saved by the grace of God, but they're wondering, could Jesus Christ save me? Sometimes people say to the preacher, you know, preacher, if you knew all the sins that I have committed, you wouldn't give much hope for me. But our brethren were singing tonight, Jesus saves. He really does. He still does. He's able and mighty, and thank God he's willing to save. And sometimes people in this life and in this world, they wonder, why am I here? And what is the purpose of it all? And did God create the heavens and the earth? Did God make man? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? What's it all about? And they're wondering. But dear friend, I can tell you tonight on the authority of God's word that the Lord Jesus Christ can go with you. Jesus went with him in his wandering. You see, for 12 years, that little child was a ray of sunshine in the home of Jairus and his dear wife. And now trouble has come and sickness has come. And that little girl lies at the point of death. And there is great uncertainty in the life of Jairus and his wife and in their home. But thank God he came to Jesus and Jesus went with him. Many years ago, when I was minister in Bonbridge Free Presbyterian Church, a friend of mine had a shop in Bonbridge. And used to joke with me, he had a bad back. I used to tell him he was lifting his wages. That's why he had a bad back. But he used to say he loved speedboats. And oftentimes he would go back and forth from Newcastle over to the Isle of Man in a speedboat. And he said it was a constant thumping over the waves. Going there, well, I never had a speedboat, so I don't have that problem. And he was doing well. As far as this world is concerned, as far as business is concerned, he's a believer. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, his little girl took sick. And I remember speaking to him one day and we were assuring him that our people were praying for him and praying for his wife and praying especially for his little daughter. And he said to me, you know, I have many things of this world's goods, but he says, spread everything I have that's important to me is lying in the Royal Victoria Hospital at this time. And I thank God, God answered prayer. That wee girl is now married and has a family of her own. See, Jesus went with him. And maybe tonight you're wondering, could the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse my sin? Friend, thank God the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse you from every sin. Now I want you to notice in verse 25, the little passage that we didn't read, it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard that Jesus came in the press behind, and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And we often sing about that poor woman. She only touched the hem of his garment, as to his side she stole, amidst the crowd that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole. Oh, touch the hem of his garment, and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour can bring you life to thee. That's true. But Jairus is going with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a great throng of people, a great multitude of company. And he's trying to get through the crowd and trying to get through them all so that sooner rather than later he will have Jesus in his home beside his little girl, that the Lord Jesus might touch her and heal her. Jesus went with him in his wandering. You'll notice Jesus went with him in his waiting. In the circumstances that arose, the Lord Jesus Christ stops. This woman has touched the hem of his garment. Virtue has gone out of him. Power has gone out of him. And he says, who touched me? The disciples say, Master, the people throng round about you. And you ask, who touched you? Jesus says, I perceive that somebody has touched me, for virtue has gone out of me. Somebody touched me in faith. See, it's possible to be in a gospel meeting. And the Lord Jesus Christ is passing this way. But dear friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to say tonight, Lord Jesus, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. This woman touched the Lord Jesus. And of course, that held things up. And Jairus was waiting and wondering what would be the next step. Some years ago, my wife took ill. One morning, I was able to get her down to the doctor's. But then when the doctor, when he seen her, he immediately sent for the ambulance. And the ambulance took her at full speed up to the hospital. I was following behind in the car, and it was very frustrating when you're trying to get to the hospital and the ambulance is trying to, and there's traffic and there's a traffic jam, and it's early in the morning and the commuters are going to their work. Very frustrating. And here's Jairus, and all he wants is for Jesus to come to his house, and now this incident happens. But the Lord Jesus Christ was with Jairus when he waited. This little girl was just 12 years of age. A little ray of sunshine in her. This poor woman had suffered for 12 years. An issue of blood. And she touched the Lord Jesus. And immediately she was made whole. And when the Lord Jesus says to her in verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague. Notice what it said in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? That's the last news Jairus wanted to hear. Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And I want you to notice that the Bible says, and Jesus went with him. He went with him in his wandering. And he went with him in his waiting. And he went with him in his worrying. What an awful message. Is the message wrong? Is it true? Has my daughter died? If only I could have got Jesus to the house before now, all would have been well. But this crowd stopped me. But you'll notice Jesus said to the man, be not afraid, only believe. As soon as Jesus heard the word, verse 36 that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now I want you to notice something from that verse. Jairus had only the word of Jesus Christ to rely on. And I say that reverently because you could get no greater word than the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he hears the message. Thy daughter is dead. Don't be troubling the master. But Jesus says, be not afraid, only believe. And friend, in the midst of worrying, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to Jairus a word of peace. He says, be not afraid, only believe. Someone once said that fear, F-E-A-R, stands for false evidence that appears real. And fear and faith, they pull in opposite directions. But all he had was the word of the Lord Jesus. All you have, all I have tonight is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the inspired, the infallible, the inerrant word of the living God. What are you trusting in for eternity? Some idea of man? Some notion of a cult leader? As we mentioned last night, people looking at their horoscope, having their palms read, going to crystal ball gazers and all the rest of it. No, thank God we have the Word of God. The only rule of faith. And of practice. Jairus was in despair. And he's thinking about that little home. And an empty bed where his little child was. And an empty chair at the table. And the laughter and the joy that wee girl had brought to that home. Jairus is tempted to go in despair with an empty house and an empty heart. But Jesus says, be not afraid. Only believe. Christ speaks a word of peace. Now I want you to notice when Jesus comes to the house, there's a word of perception in verse 39. For when he was come, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Remember Jesus said to his disciples about Lazarus, he sleepeth. And then Jesus said to them, plainly, he is dead. But he said, I am going that I might awaken him out of his sleep. And I, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is the one who can raise the dead to life. And he says, Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. And the damsel is not dead, she sleepeth. And then he spoke a word of power. In verse 41, he took the damsel by the hand and he saith unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And thank God tonight that no matter what causes you to be trembling, or to be worrying, or to be fearful, the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel says, be not afraid, only believe. We have a great God. The brethren were singing, how great thou art. Our God is upon the throne. Our God rules in the kingdoms of men. All the nations of this whole world, the Bible says, are like a drop of the bucket as far as God is concerned. They're like the fine dust of the balance. And if God who spun the stars in space, and God who created it all, and God who oversees this whole world, thank God he's concerned about you. Say, hardly you know, because he died for you on the old rugged cross. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He loved you so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus went with him, and Jesus went with him. And his wondering, and his waiting, and his worrying. You notice in his weeping. Because verse 38 says that when they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Seeing the yeast, there were professional mourners. And as soon as the news went out that this little girl died, the mourners would come and they would weep and wail. They would create what the Lord Jesus says was an ado. And they wept. But the Lord Jesus was with Jairus, even in that time of weeping. The Bible says that when Jesus said, "The little girl is not dead but sleepeth," verse 40, it says, "And they laughed him to scorn." And isn't it interesting that as far as this world is concerned, the opinions of men and women in this world are very, very fickle. One moment they're weeping and wailing, and the next moment they're laughing Christ to scorn. It always reminds me of that time when the Apostle Paul escaped the shipwreck and he landed on the island. And the people there, they looked upon him, and Paul, being a practical sort of a person, he began to gather up sticks for to light a fire, and a viper out of the sticks bit him. And the people said, "He must be a murderer, and he has escaped the shipwreck, but vengeance suffers him not to live, and so he's been bitten by this snake, by this venomous viper." And they expected him to fall down dead, but he didn't. What did they say? One minute they thought he was a murderer. The next minute, "He is a God. He is a God." And friend, public opinion is so fickle. And that's why we tell men and women that the Bible says there is one way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius or anyone else. It's Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what religion says. It matters what God says in His Word. Because the Bible says these people who wept, who wailed outside that little home of Jairus, the Bible says Jesus put them all out. And he took with him the mother and the father of the damsel in verse 40. And he took with him James and John and Peter. Isn't that just a picture of what's going to happen some of these days? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Creator, the Sustainer, the Savior, but yet the one who is the Judge of all the earth. There are those whom the Lord Jesus Christ will say, "Come ye blessed of my Father, enter into eternal life." And there are those to whom he will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you." Some were put out and some were taken in. And it all depends on our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The brethren were saying, "Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd be enslaved." Friend, do you know him today? Do you know Christ as your own and personal Savior? I'm not asking you to attend church. Which denomination do you belong to? I'm not asking you, are you a good citizen? Are you one who keeps the Sabbath? I'm not asking you, are you baptized or confirmed or catechized or have you sat at the Lord's table? I'm asking you, do you know Christ personally as your own and personal Savior? The world might laugh him to scorn. And increasingly in this age in which we live, there are more programs on our television. There are more articles that appear in the press where the more men and women can blaspheme the spotless, sinless, holy Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the more popular it seems to be. But dear friend, don't you go with the crowd. Don't you go with the multitude on the broad road that leads to a lost Christless eternity. You say, my old companions, fare thee well. I will not go with you to hell, for I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I don't want to be put out. I want to be taken in to the Father's house of many mansions, to that inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for those who are kept by the power of God through faith. You know, Jesus went with him also in his welcoming. The Lord Jesus took the little girl by the hand. He says, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee. And the word the Lord Jesus Christ used for damsel is little lamb. O little lamb, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway, the little girl rose up. She's living. And the Bible says she's walking. And Jesus says that something should be given her to eat. She's eating. My, what a change. They could have sung those words if they had been written. What a wonderful change. And her life was wrought since Jesus came into her heart. And what a wonderful thing. What a change the Lord Jesus Christ makes. That's a change religion can't make. That's a change philosophy can't make. That's a change a good living cannot make. That's a change only Jesus Christ can make. Where there was death, now there's life. Where there was darkness, now thank God there's light. Where there was lifelessness, now there's power. The little girl is restored to her parents. Jesus went with him, we could say, in his worshiping. Our Jairus would have fell down again as he fell at Jesus' feet and asked him to come and heal his little girl. And worship and praise and thanksgiving. Then can I ask you tonight, as we bring our meeting to a close, who do you live for? Do you live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you live for the world and what it can give? Who are you serving tonight? Are you serving the Lord Jesus? Or are you serving the world? Are you a slave to sin? Are you serving Satan? Where will you spend eternity? Will you be taken in to heaven? Will you be cast out to that place where God has forgotten to be gracious? What will you live with? What will you die with? Can you say, thank God, I'm depending on the precious blood of Jesus? Can you say, thank God, preacher, there was a night in my experience when I got saved and Jesus went with me. That the Lord Jesus has kept me. That the Lord Jesus has been with me since that day. And he will be with me. Till one day he rules. The rivers rule. Their waters at our feet. And then he'll bear us safely over where the loved ones and the Savior we shall meet. Can you say tonight, and Jesus will. Friend, if you get saved tonight, we can say about you as you leave this meeting, and Jesus went with him. We can say about you, dear sister, and Jesus went with her. What an awful thing for man or woman to hear the gospel and still to leave without Christ, therefore without hope for time and for eternity. May God help you to come and seek the Lord while he may be found. The Reverend Salt will bring our meeting to a close.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Greenfield, again for that message tonight. We do trust that the Lord will bless the word. We do thank you for listening.